Hello, Chamber faithful. Welcome to the Idaho Cutthroat Business Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Field. Your co-host, Tori Thomas, is taking some well-deserved PTO today, so we wish her well, but want to make sure that we still share a wonderful corkboard with you for the week of July 11th through the 15th. On July 13th, Wednesday, 4:30 p.m., Boise Young Professionals 101 will happen for an after-work edition. So look for that, as well as at 5 p.m. that night, the 101 will lead right into Boise Young Professionals Be Connected event. Great series. Both will be hosted at the Franklin House. Then on Thursday, July 14th at 2 p.m., a chamber check-in with Modig Leadership. And on Friday, July 15th, 2 p.m., a chamber check-in with Janice Inc. So I hope you're all doing well. Looking forward to sharing with you with today's podcast guest, Nick from Amherst Madison. You're going to see just a story of a guy that has a lot of grit, someone who tells us to not worry so much about the real estate market, and markets are going to figure themselves out. I don't want to talk about too much, but it was really great talking to a guy, and including just for me personally, the first time I'd ever met a Bronco from the first Fiesta Bowl win. And so I was able to thank him personally for giving me my favorite sports memory. So it was a fun conversation for me, and I hope you enjoy it too. Without further ado, here's Nick. Nick Schleckaway, welcome to the Idaho Cutthroat Business Podcast. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're really glad you're here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. We are real estate's been a big deal for us at the Chamber. Mm-hmm. We touched on it again this last leadership conference, but the leadership conference before was all dedicated to real estate and what's going on in the Valley because, it's just crazy. I should just stay. I mean, throughout the whole state, it's a national story, but here in Boise, we've seen such a dramatic change in prices of homes. Commercial real estate has jumped. Everything. I mean, everyone's felt that.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice to have you here today to talk about that stuff. But before we kind of pick your brain for your professional knowledge, we want to know a little bit more about you.
Okay.
So cool. You got to tell us, where'd you grow up? What'd you study? What kind of brought you to where you are right now in your career?
Grew up close to here, actually, just north of Eagle.
Oh, okay.
Before Eagle was Eagle. I always tell people it was a lot different when I grew up here 30-some years ago. I grew up on an acreage with cattle and horses and chickens. And, I mean, it was very much a rural upbringing.
That's
and,
cool.
And lifestyle, which is obviously a little bit different than what most people are getting on an Eagle now. So, I grew up just working hard. You know, my parents were hard workers. They were entrepreneurs, which is where I definitely got the bug to do that. My dad was in construction. He actually went bankrupt when I was pretty young. So we grew up very poor. And I learned the value of hard work and the value of a dollar early on in life, very, very early, as young as I can remember. I remember just working hard and trying to make ends meet. So that was a huge part of the basis of my childhood, was going on to my dad, going on construction jobs with him and going to construction sites with him and helping my mom out with things that she had going on. And she started a couple of hair salons, I don't even know how old I was, maybe 10.
Yeah.
And she was running those. So it was kind of interesting just watching her do her thing, running businesses. My dad was always doing stuff in construction. You know, even after he went bankrupt, he just kind of started building up again and doing a lot of things for himself. Wow. Got into building some rental properties. My parents got into property managing their own stuff and starting to build a few rentals up, and kind of went down that path instead of, you know, building for other people. So I got exposed to a ton of different things. I mean, my parents had a coffee shop at one point that I was actually a barista at in high school and worked there after school. It's a good place to do homework. And my mom had these hair salons and my dad was doing his construction thing. And so there's always a ton going on, you know, and just always a lot of projects around the house and things going on.
Any of those salons still around?
No, they just closed. They operated for a long time. I think she had 15 years, but she just closed the second one I don't even know, maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
Not too long ago. Huh.
What coffee shop was it?
They own a Moxie Java, actually the one in Eagle.
Okay.
Awesome. There was one in Eagle that they had for, I think, again, 10 years or or something like that. So
Tori knows that industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Barista for quite a few years.
Right on.
Yeah, my favorite. It'll always be my favorite job.
It's just like being a bartender, but you're slinging coffee instead of booze. But it's
you get the morning problems rather than the evening problems. Yep. So which can be good and bad.
And everybody's identified by their drink, just like when they're getting vodka. So.
Yeah, yeah, you're judged everywhere.
So you know, looking back on my childhood, there was just a lot of things going on. I mean, we were always very busy and always working hard and just really taught the value of independence, quite frankly, and hard work.
Yeah.
Just self-reliance was a huge part of that my parents gave to me. So
that's great.
Very, very thankful for that. But that channeled, you know, obviously wonderfully into athletics in a lot of ways. Like I wasn't the most gifted athlete at all. I had really bad asthma when I was a kid. I was hospitalized multiple times with asthma attacks.
My son is like that. That makes me so happy to hear you say that, because he's such a good little athlete, and I want him to be able to participate. We're going to have to talk about this later, Nick.
Yeah, so I had horrible asthma, kind of had crooked feet. I was really like pigeon-toed and was kind of overweight as a kid. I was just very unathletic. But my parents, just through, you know, like teaching me the value of hard work and believing in me to change things, really kind of helped me start growing and start learning and just working out. I mean, exercise and physical fitness has been a part of my life since I was like 9, 10 years old. Like, I used to be doing push-ups in my bedroom at night before I went to bed. Before my parents wouldn't let me lift weights until I was 13. But I started jogging and running and stuff when I was like 10, 11 years old. And through just physical fitness, actually, and learning that discipline and that training for sports, built disciplines that have lasted my entire life. And really the basis of a bedrock of who I am has a lot to do with physical fitness and exercise and discipline and hard work. And that all started when I was like 10 years old and just like training for football, because football was what I loved to do. I mean, I wanted to play football since I was like born. That was probably like my number one thing that I really wanted to do. The work and stuff I did for my parents was great. I didn't always want to do that, but I always wanted to play football. So I figured out pretty quick that I was going to struggle to get on the field if I didn't start working out and, you know, get in better shape. And I had a lot of those things to overcome that a lot of other kids didn't have. But also learned very quickly that you can do that, you know, and that I could do that.
Yeah.
I went from being like way out of shape and barely even playing to being a starter in 1 or 2 years and kind of never looked back in a lot of ways athletically. Like, I was always kind of behind the curve from a talent standpoint, but outworked everyone and was able to push through a lot of things and a lot of injuries and a lot of hard times. And continue to the point where I was playing for Boise State, which is where I ended my football career.
But which is so cool, because that's the character of that football team is a blue chip, hard work, prove yourself team.
Blue collar, not
100%. Blue chip.
None of us were blue chip.
No, none of that.
We couldn't even spell blue chip. Back in those days, Boise State was just like a bunch of renegades.
Yeah.
I still talk to my teammates and we just laugh about the characters and personalities on that team and just like the fights that would happen at practice. And it was a very chippy group, you know, and all of us were kind of overlooked, and you know, people that didn't necessarily have the talent and weren't the blue chip people, but were the guys that knew how to work and liked to win and were very, very competitive. That's something that I would say, if you're looking for something that's been a characteristic of mine for probably my whole life, is competition.
Yeah.
I've always been a competitor. So, and there's been times when that served me, you know, I think in athletics, it really served me. There's been times when it hasn't served me, which is pretty typical. Like, usually our greatest strengths are also our greatest weaknesses. Like
100%.
They've got a shadow side that we have to deal with. So yeah, it's been an interesting journey for sure. But my time at Boise State was awesome. You know, just, that's great cool. time to be there. Great group of guys that I played with. Great coaches. I sort of got a graduate degree in how organizations work and how to build culture and build team at a high level. I didn't realize that at the time. I mean, it was just where I was. You know, it was where I wanted to play ball. But I was able to take so many things I learned through those coaches and through even the athletic administration that we had at the time, and watching the way that they put those programs together into my business life. That's probably like one of the most valuable things I ever learned about how to run a company. I learned in college athletics.
That's great. Tell us about that transition from, you know, being a Fiesta Bowl winner to starting your own business.
Rough.
Yeah.
Certainly. You know, athletics is so weird, because it's your entire universe, especially football, where it's not a life sport. You know, like when you're done, you're pretty much done. I mean,
it's hard to get that many guys together.
And so it's just weird because it's something that's like your entire universe. For me, it was like 15 years, everything I worked for and really cared about. And then it's just over. And it's like, you got to go figure it out. And whether it happens after high school or after college, or even, you know, guys that play in the NFL for 10 years, they're still only 30 when they hit this point, you know, and they still have a lot of life left. So that was hard figuring out what I wanted to do. I mean, I fell back immediately after college on construction, started working for a concrete company. I found out like not long after I graduated that Boise Fire was actually hiring firefighters. That was something that was always interesting for me because I had a bunch of coaches actually when I was like 8, 9, 10 years old that were firefighters.
That's cool.
And they were some people that I, you know, looked up to and were mentors for sure. So I actually got super passionate at that time about like the fire service and everything that that meant, and wound up working really hard, doing a lot of practice oral boards, testing really well, and I actually got hired. So I was a firefighter, you know, like a year after I graduated college, and did that for 4 years full time. And like in that time that I was doing that, about 2 years after I got hired by Boise City, I got my real estate license.
Okay.
Just kind of as, you know, honestly, just like something to do on the side. I don't do well with time off, so our fire schedule at the time was 48 hours on shift and then 96 hours off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 4 days off in a row for me is trouble if I don't, like, have something to occupy me.
Yeah.
I get bored really easy.
Yeah.
So I got my real estate license. You know, I wanted to, like, invest in real estate, maybe develop it at some point, have some rentals certainly at some point. My parents had done that, so I kind of knew a little bit about what that was about. And it was an interesting thing. So I never sold anything before. I had no background in sales. I never really done anything that was like customer service oriented. Everything I ever done was construction, football, school. That's it, you know, really. In fact, being a barista at my parents' Moxie job was probably the closest thing I'd ever done previous to that. That was sales and customer service, you know. So it was interesting because it was new. It was a challenge. And I really kind of fell in love with client services and just that art of matching people's needs and desires and wants with what was out there in the market and helping to solve those problems. I thought it was just really cool. It was just something different, unique. So I took to it, and I had some people that, you know, wanted me to help them find investment properties, which at the time, 2010 was when I got into it. So it was when the market was totally bombed out after the crash.
Yeah.
I sold 28 homes my first 18 months in the business.
Wow.
Which sounds great until you find out my average sales price was $95,000. Because that's what it was at the time. You know, I was running around in Kane County selling at like $55,000 houses. And these are like 1,400 square foot, you know, houses that would be $350,000, $400,000 now.
That's crazy.
They were $55,000, right? So commissions were much lower. But there was also a lot fewer people in the business. You know, there was a lot fewer agents out there, so there was less competition. And I just really liked it. I liked the challenge of it. And I started to, my background kind of as being an entrepreneur, my background in team building, my background and really having a passion for what makes organizations tick, started pushing me in this direction of starting my own company and starting my own brokerage. So there was a lot of different pieces coming together. I was having a lot of success as an agent. I saw pretty quickly what I would call some white space or some void space, an opportunity in the brokerage market where, you know, I didn't see anyone that was filling this void of professionalism, quality, community-based, a brokerage that you could point to and say, like, yeah, that's where, you know, the agents who want to be at their very best go, or that's where the agents who really want to give back their community go, or that's the agents that are the most professional, like they license there. I didn't see that, and that's what I wanted because those are the things that were very important to me and always had been. So I built it. I went out and I started my own brokerage, and then I left the fire service at that time. So November of 2012 was when I left that. I was already working two full-time jobs, selling and being a firefighter, and I had blown up a marriage doing that, and I was working 90 hours a week, and I kind of just reached this breaking point where I had to make a decision. You know, I'd either stop growing my business, leave my job at the city, and that's the path I took, is I left my firefighting job in November of 2012, and then I started Amherst Madison the next summer. Mm-hmm. So, and that was a big part of my decision. I knew that I wanted to start my own thing, and I couldn't do that and continue being a firefighter.
Man, those big decisions in life, those are the hard ones to make. But that's an incredible story. Tell me about what you've learned now. I mean, you've been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. What are the trends that you're seeing starting in the Great Recession and selling $55,000 homes to what we're experiencing right now? What should people that are listening and interested in the Boise market, are they here? What are the trends you're seeing?
Well, I don't know if I have like a skewed perspective or a great perspective, but it is, I think, a unique one because of when I got into it.
Yeah.
You know, 75% of what we sold was short sales and foreclosures. And it was a pretty dark time to be in real estate, to be honest. So to me, like, this is just an absolutely amazing time and amazing opportunities for people that are in the industry. Now you have obviously a really negative side effect of affordability problems. You know, now, which is what we're seeing now. So fast forward to today, we had this huge run up in activity and prices and everybody moving here during COVID, which COVID was interesting because it wasn't anything new, right? Like, and people, to go back even further, have been moving to Boise since the 80s. I mean, this area has been growing for decades, you know, but it's been getting more and more enhanced, right? And accelerated. And then COVID hit and it was like, you just put gasoline on the fire. Everybody that we had helped relocate here during COVID, when there was this huge rush and prices and everything sort of blew up, they were all planning on moving here anyways.
Yeah.
But they were planning on doing it in sometime in the next 5 years or sometime in the next 10 years. And then their cities were completely locked down and they couldn't go anywhere and they couldn't go to work and they couldn't do anything. And a lot of them were just like, well, now's the time to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that very simple dynamic is actually what drove this huge acceleration in prices and activity here in our real estate market. Now, you know, going back to a little bit more normal life, more normal activity, people going back to the office, people able to go to the beach and people able to, you know, recreate and do all these things that they do. There's not this rush that's happening to a place like Boise anymore. So a lot of what's going on right now is sort of just going back to like pre-COVID levels of activity, you know. But anytime a market shifts, which our market has shifted, like, it's not shifting, it is shifted, and it happened about 8 weeks ago, where you could literally just see the incoming pending contracts go down by 25-30% in a matter of 4 or 5 days, and that's something that's very, I think, misunderstood about real estate markets, is people think that they move like really gradually and slowly over time. And it's because most of the data you look at is spread over like a year or 3 years or 5 years. And it looks like it's these long, slow, gradual, but it's really not. What happens is things shift in a matter of weeks, you know, and then it might take months or even a year for that shift to fully play itself out in the market. But the change actually happens very quickly. I mean, and obviously this change was sparked by a rise in interest rates, right? Which is the point. So that's something I always like to emphasize, is the market shifted and slowed down significantly, which we're seeing now. So now the market is slower. There's not as much buyers. So inventory is picking up. There's a lot more inventory now. There's like, I think, 4 or 5 times the inventory now than there was last year, which is a good thing, you know. And it's kind of interesting because people sit around, they say like, oh, we need more inventory. And then the market finally reacts and gives them what they want. And people are like, oh my God, the sky is falling. The market is crashing. It's like, no, this is exactly how it's supposed to work, right? When the Fed raises rates, they do that to slow down the real estate markets and slow down inflation and slow down this run up in price. Like, that's the point. That's what it's supposed to do. And that's what's happening, right? So you're seeing buyer activities cooled off, more affordability problems for people because they have the prices go up and now interest rates go up.
Yeah.
You know, so there's just not as much buyer activity out there, and you're seeing that inventory climb, and the market is seeking its new equilibrium. What is that going to be? I don't know. I mean, nobody knows. Nobody has that crystal ball. It's going to take a few months for it to figure itself out where that equilibrium lies. Now, the good news is that there's still activity out there. So I said that, you know, like, the incoming contracts slowed down. They didn't stop. Which in 2007, 2008, they stopped. They didn't slow down. They literally went to like zero for a period of a couple of months. That's not happening right now. We still have a lot of activity in the market. It's just not this frenetic, crazed pace that it was, you know, during COVID.
Yeah. So maybe you're not competing against 8 other people on bid.
Exactly.
Yeah, try to outbid one another.
Yeah, and for the first time in a long time, buyers have options, and buyers are able to do some negotiating, which is good. Yeah, it's a good thing. Like, it's never a healthy thing for buyers to you know, essentially buy houses at gunpoint where they don't even really have a choice on what they're offering. A lot of them were waiving inspections, waiving appraisals to try to beat out other buyers, mm-hmm. which that's not good. I mean, you know, that can put people in a really bad situation very quickly. So,
well, that's interesting. Tori, were you thinking about something?
No, I'm just curious. Is it are people staying here? Have you noticed like the flux of people moving here during COVID, and now they're saying, oh, we can go back to where we came from, or we can go somewhere else now we're not locked down, or are people hanging out here?
They're staying here for the most part. I mean, there have been people that have gone to Texas, relocated for work,
Totally.
Gone to markets that are smaller, quite frankly, because they moved to Boise 15 years ago and they don't like how big it's getting. You know, but as a general rule, no, it's not like we're seeing like some sort of reverse exodus where people are like going back to Seattle or back to Portland or back to California or back to Dallas. Like that hasn't happened. Yeah. No, like I said, it was people that were going to come here anyways.
Mm-hmm.
It's just accelerated.
People were already attracted to this place before, and then you're not doing anything, or you're not liking the politics in your other city, and you're like, okay, let's go somewhere else. So
yeah, people reacted to COVID very strangely, you know, and completely unpredictable. Like, who would have guessed that everyone was going to buy an RV and you weren't going to be able to buy a boat, and you weren't going to be able to buy like even just like a four-wheeler,
a hot tub,
motorcycle, hot tub. Yeah, like all these little industries that just blew up because people were not going on vacation, and they weren't going to movies, and they weren't going to sporting events, and they weren't going to all these things, right? And the real estate market was the exact same. Like, nobody could have predicted the way that was going to work out, you know. But a lot of people moved, I think, honestly, just because they were freaking bored. Really, like, they knew they wanted to move sometime in the next few years. They were bored. They were off work. And they were just like,
oh. They knew how exciting Boise was.
Yeah, they were like, we might as well do it. You know? Access to the trail. I mean, that's the thing, is, like, the lifestyle reasons why people move here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All of that was so much more valuable during COVID, right? Getting outside, going in the trails.
Yeah, the quality of life that we have to offer here is obviously one of the biggest reasons why people stay and come.
And getting outside is a huge part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's great.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate everything that Amherst Madison does for the community. I have a couple friends that work for you.
Oh, cool.
And, it's really cool to see you guys thriving a lot. One of the questions that we mentioned is one of our last questions that we always ask our guests is, what's your favorite small business that you like to support in the community?
Man, that's tough because there's a lot of really good ones. Two of them that I think about though right now are this company called Tattooed and Successful, which my buddy Zach Peterson runs that. And it's all kinds of cool stuff. They do like apparel. Now they're opening their own gym, and it's just a really cool, like, small Idaho business kind of story that is quickly becoming not small.
Mm-hmm.
And then my boy Devin, who's behind the camera right now with the camera lens, with Sigma, what is it, Sigma Media?
Sigma Wolf,
that's right.
Okay.
I always just know him as Devin from Sigma, but Devin with Sigma Wolf Media, and I met him through Zach at Tattooed and Successful because they do a lot of work together. And Devin does a lot of work for Everly Stock, which is also one of my favorite local companies. It's awesome. So that's my answer right now. Cool. is that's just a great tribe, and it's a great network, and it's just people that are hustling to make things happen in our local business community, and small and definitely growing now, growing quickly.
That's great.
So Everly Stock's not really small, but I still like that.
Yeah. Well, in Tattooed and Successful, several people I know are always in the photo shoots, and I'm like,
oh, really?
So cool. Like, and it just kind of popped up. So that's really cool to know. You know the guy that started it. And
It's just like an example of somebody who, I mean, he's slinging t-shirts, right? So it could be so boring and just so transactional, and he makes it something completely different. Like, and it's not even so much that he's turning into a lifestyle brand, it's that he's featuring like a lot of people that you know, a lot of people I know. Mm-hmm. He's making it very human, he's making it really very relational and not just transactional,
and changing the industry and the stigma behind tattoos and professionalism.
Totally.
Which is huge and is something that does need to change.
Yeah, so he's got like a cause, right? And he's making a lot more about the relationship and about people. Now, like, they're going down this route of opening their own gym, and that's going to be a whole different part of what they do.
That's cool. Wow.
So it's just really cool that, you know, somebody takes something that could be very boring and, like, we've seen this a million times before, and you're going to sell t-shirts and great, good for you, and and they're doing something really cool with it. You know, and it's the same thing with the stuff that Devin is doing with his media company, and figuring out unique ways to tell stories. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than that. Stories are everything. It's how we communicate. It's how we remember things. But, you know, he really has a lot of heart behind what he does as well. And I try my best to follow the same sort of thing with my business. I mean, I have a real estate brokerage, you know. That could be really boring. And to a lot of people, that is really boring. And for me, if I just did it the way everyone else did it, it would be really boring and I would hate it. So you've got to figure out a way to make it more than that. You make it about a story, about people, about community, about a cause that you want to change and something you want to do differently. I mean, the work that you all do at the Chamber is the exact same thing. You know, like, it could be something that is very much just nobody wants to be a part of it and it's boring and it doesn't change anything, or it can literally reshape the entire community with who you reach and who you bring here and who you bring into this thing, right?
Nick, thank you so much for taking the time today and sharing some of your stories. I'm sure that people are going to hear this and you know, they're going to take away something they want to do different in their lives or, you know, improve up on. And that's what this is all about. So really appreciate your time today.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah. Hey, Chamber faithful. Hope you enjoyed that conversation. Nick's a great guy. Really enjoyed visiting with him. Has a great personal story. Was really just a really fun person to visit with. I'm glad we have that kind of leadership in our area. It's these kind of people that make Boise such a special place to work and do business. And anyway, I hope everyone's enjoying a wonderful Monday morning when they hear this. Travel safely, enjoy a good week, and come hang out with us at the Chamber if you have a chance. Take care.